Today's shir is Masechta Sukkah Daf Lamed Zayin. We will begin on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, in Oydim Salulav, when we tie together the different minim, the lulav hadasim and aravas, the loch is the only material that could be used to tie this together is a mina. You could only use leaves of the lulav, of the hadasim, or the aravas. Those are the only types of material that could be used. And as we're going to see in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that a lulav tzarech eged, the lulav must be tied together. And since the lulav must be tied together, we're going to learn in the Gemara that if you use something which is not one of the minim of the lulav, if you use something else, then you will have brought another min into the lulav, and the halach is that then it would be considered a situation about taisif. And therefore, says the Gemara, according to Yehuda, you have to tie together these three minim, and it must specifically be done with something that is kosher to be one of the dalam minim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rameya Omer, afilu chut b'mashicha, you could use any material to tie it together. Amar Rameya, and Rameya tells us, we find a situation with the people who lived in Yerushalayim, that they used gold thread to tie together their lulav. Amaloi, and the Chachamim disagree, and the Chachamim say, that even though it looked like they were using these gold threads to keep the lulav together, really under it, they were just on top or what was on bottom, and was really under the bottom, were the type of minim that could be used for lulav, which, as we said, otherwise we would have a problem with what you may tie to the lulav together. Says the Gemara Amarava, afilu b'siv, even the material that grows around the tree, afilu b'ikra d'dikla, even with a tree branch, any type of material could be used to tie together, to keep the lulav together. Amar Rava, my time Rabbi Yehuda, so as we explained, the Gemara tries to understand what does Rabbi Yehuda hold, that you only could tie the lulav together with one of the minim that may be used for the lulav. Says the Gemara, because Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is the kesavar, Rabbi Yehuda holds lulav tzarech eged, the lulav must be tied together. And therefore, it becomes a part. The tying together of the lulav is actually part of the mitzvah. And therefore, if it's part of the mitzvah, if ma'aseh min achrina, if you're going to bring a different type of material to use to tie together the lulav, which you have to tie together, then the halacha is you will now violate bal taisif. However, if the entire obligation, as we've been learning the opinion of the Chachamim, is that you don't have to tie together the lulav. There's no mitzvah, there's no obligation to tie together the lulav. It's only done, as we've learned, because of noy mitzvah. It's only done because we want to beautify the mitzvah. So since it's only done to beautify the mitzvah, it's not something which is absolutely required there. Therefore, there's no issue about taisif if you use a material that you didn't have to bring all together. Vamarava, Mananamili, how do I know the siv, vikra the dikla, amina the lulavahu, the type of material that could be used for lulav? And since they're the type of material that could be used for lulav, therefore they could be used as materials that could be used to tie together the lulav, says the Gemara, the Tanya. The Pasuk says, Basukas Teshvu. The Torah says that we should sit in Sukkos, and the Torah says Besukkos, Eloshin Rabbim. Sukkos shall call Dover. Any material can be used for the Sukkah. Of course, as we have learned in previous Shurim, it only is acceptable if there's something that only type of material that can be used for the Schach is something which is Gedulei Karka. It grows from the ground. Veinu Mekabel Tuma, and it's not Mekabel Tuma. But if it has those conditions, if those conditions are met, any material can be used to make a sukkah. Divrei Rameya. That's the opinion of Rameya. Rabbi Yehuda says, ain't sukkah nehagas, elam arba minim shiva bulav. According to Rabbi Yehuda, The only thing that could be used for a schach is the object, is something that could be used for the dal minim. And of course, the Rishonim point out, Rabbi Yehuda is not coming to teach us that we could use an esrig for schach. There's no question that one cannot use an esrig for schach. It would mean the other minim that could be the leaves, the lulav, the das meravas that could be used for schach. And Rabbi Yehuda wants to make his point that only materials that could be used for the dal minim could be used for schach. Because I did noisen, he makes a following kavachaymer. Umar lulav shein ahagus belayla b'yomim. The mitzvah of dal minim only applies during the days of Sukkot. It doesn't apply at night. Ein ahagus ella ba'arba minim. You only could use the dal minim to fulfill the mitzvah. Sukkah shein ahagus belayla b'yomim. We know that one has to be in the sukkah all the time, by night and by day. So since the sukkah, which applies both by day and by night, ain't a din. Certainly we have to be stricter when we speak about the sukkah than when we speak about the dal minim. So if the dal minim can only be brought from the dal minim, ain't a din, shloitehe ella b'arbas aminim, the only material that could make kosher schach, suggests Rabbi Yehuda, is from something that you could use for the dal minim. Amar loy, so chamim, in responding to Rabbi Yehuda and saying that we don't agree with your kavachaymer, say a rule regarding kavachaymers. And they say, kol din, whenever you have a kavachaymer, shatadam b'tchilas alahachmer, if the purpose of the kavachaymer is to teach us a chumra, v'soifai, but as a result of the kavachaymer, we're going to end up with a kula, ein a din. And the posh pshat in the Gemara is, because the purpose of a kavachaymer is to teach us a chumrah. If the result of the kavachaymer is that we end up with a kula, then we've defeated our purpose. Because if we're saying that the only material that could be used for schach is something that could be used for the dal minim, so it'll turn out the lay matzah arbas aminim, if you won't be able to find that type of material to build your sukkah, yayosh v'batal, it'll turn out that you will not be able to, you won't have a sukkah. But Torah Amra, and the Torah we know wants us to sit besukkahs teishvu shivas yamim. So we learn from here, besukkah shall call dover, any type of material is acceptable to be used for a sukkah. Of course, only materials that grow from the ground and not mekabel tuma. And says the Gemara, there's actually a pasuk, say the Chachamim, to support the opinion. Could the pasuk became be Ezra Omer? The pasuk says in Ezra, Tzua har v'have alai ala zayis, leaves from a olive tree, v'alei et shemen, v'alei das, v'alei tamar, v'alei et ovis, lasa sukkas kakosuf. So you see from the pasuk that all of these different materials were used for making the schach, and therefore we are not limited to the dal minim, says the Gemara. And how will Rabbi Yehuda defend himself? Rabbi Yehuda, who at this point in the Gemara is saying that the only material that can be used for schach as one of the dal minim, what is he going to do with this pasuk in Ezra? Rabbi Yehuda Sava, he says that this sukkim, this pasuk is hani l'defanis alei das v'alei tamar v'alei etz ovis, hani l'defanis. All the other materials were just used for the walls of the sukkah. Alei das v'alei tamar v'anaf alei etz ovis, which are the materials from which you could bring the aluminum, they were used for schach. It's interesting that the Sefer Kabbas Tamarim points out that why does the Gemara emphasize that this pasuk is a pasuk in Ezra? So Kabbas Tamarim says that the Gemara says that Amar Rabbi Yosi, Roy Hayu Ezra Shtinosan Torah, Ezra was such a great person that he could have been the individual who would have brought Torah to Klal Yisrael. El Malay, like Kidma Moshe. But Moshe Rabbeinu came before him, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had the schus. So we see from here that Ezra was equivalent to Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, since he was so great, he could have taught us a Kavachaymer, as Rabbi Yehuda wants to teach us, that the Kavachaymer leads us to a conclusion that we could only use something that's kosher for Arba Minim for the Schach. But the fact that we see that Ezra went out of the way to say that, no, I'm not going to use that Kal V'chomer, is an indication that the Kal V'chomer, the Gemara is saying, is an indication that the Kal V'chomer that Rabbi Yehuda tried to use is an incorrect Kal V'chomer. Dor Sameach explains how we should understand these psukim and the machloikus of Rabbi Yehuda and Rameya, what material may be used for the schach, going back to opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that we've discussed many times in our Masechta. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that a sukkah has to be a diras kva. It has to be a permanent structure. And therefore, explains Rabbi Yehuda, that the walls of the sukkah that Ezra spoke about had to be made out of wood. But the question was, that sukkah was built in the Azara. And the Azara, there's a din, is loisit l'cha asherah. And therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, that specifically, the walls were made out of these materials, these sturdier materials, but the roof was not, because it has to be diras kva. But since the roof, we want to avoid the problem like sitel chashera, so that's why the roof was made out of the leaves of the dalaminum. The Gemara continues to prove that siv and dikla could be considered min lulav. And since they could be considered min lulav, they could be used to tie to the lulav together, the tanan. We learned earlier in our Masechta, Masachchen ben Asarim de Rebbe Yehuda, that when you're allowed to use boards, beams, to fischach on your sukkah. And obviously, according to Rebbe Yehuda, if beams could be used for schach, what it must mean are beams that are part of the war, that are from the dalaminum, alma. Now, how can we have a beam from something which is the dalaminum? It must be that Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that the trunk of the lulav tree, the palm tree, even though we don't use, as we've learned earlier in our Masechta, the actual trunk for the dalaminum, but still, since it's the trunk of that tree, it's kosher to be, it's considered part of the lulav, and that's why it can be used for schach. And not only could it be used for schach, it could also be used to tie together the other minim. Al masiv ikra de dikla, mina de lulafu shma mina. So from here we see that the two halachas, again, Rabbi Yehuda is teaching us that we could only use something which is one of the dal minim for tying together the luluf, but he is teaching us that the trunk of the tree, a strip of the trunk of the tree, is considered like one of the dalaminum. And we've also learned, and we're going to discuss that more in a moment, that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that we could only use materials that are kosher for the dalaminum for schach. So here we learned that the only thing that could be used for tying together, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the dalaminum, are one of the dalaminum, the same as the dalaminum. The question is, we know that when it comes to the Hoshanas that we use on Hoshana Rabbah, the minig is to tie them together. So actually, not everybody has that minig. The Birkei Yosef actually is of the opinion that the Hoshanas that I use, the Ravas that I use on Hoshana Rabbah, should not be tied together. And actually, the Yavitz, quoting the Arizal, says that we should not tie together the Ravas that are used on Hoshana Rabbah. And he gives an explanation. As we mentioned in previous shiurim, the dalaminim represent the four types of Jews. And the aravos represent the Jews that ain b'em tam ve'ain b'em reyach, the Jews that don't learn Torah, that don't do mitzvahs. So although, says the Arizal, of course, typically it's very exemplary that we should have Jews ba'achdus, Jews united. But says the Arizal, these types of Jews, the Rishoyim, are not people that we want should be ba'achdus. And therefore, the aravos of Hoshana Rabbah should not be tied together. Others, of course, say the meaning is that we do tie it together. And even if you hold, you should tie it together. Of course, even though we learned the opinion of Yehuda, that Eged, by the lulav, tying that lulav and that dasam aravos together is obligation, you have to do it. By aravos, everybody agrees that you don't have to do it. Another question is, the Magen Avraham in Siman Tov Reish Samech Dalet, Sif Katan Dalet discusses if you could use lulav leaves to tie together the aravos. If we're learning that you have to use the same min, so lulav leaves, can you use it? So based on the Gemara that we just learned, says the Magen Avraham, it shouldn't be a problem. Because we just learned in the Gemara that the reason Rabbi Yehuda says that you have to use one of the dalim minim, one of the gimel minim to tie it together, because otherwise you'll be adding a new min, and it'll be about toisim. But that's only as we explained, because Rabbi Yehuda says you must tie them together. But if the halacha is that you don't have to tie them together, so then there's no concern. So the eged is only there lenoi. It's only there to make it nicer. And therefore, since it's only there to make it nicer, that's not considered a concern about Taisif. And that's why many had the minig that they would take part of the lulav and they would use those strips to tie the arava together. But the Shal Tshuva's Kinyan Torah, Chelik Hei Erechayim Simen Ayin, says, are you allowed to take a strip off your lulav that you're using to tie together your dalaminim? So he says that since the only the upper part of the lulav is what's required to fulfill the mitzvah, as we're going to learn in the coming Shir Mitzvah Shem, we're going to speak about the mitzvah of nanuim. So therefore, we learned that it's the upper part that you do the nanuim. So if you take a strip from the side and you use it from the side of the lulav and you use it to tie together the dalaminim, it's not an issue. Ask the Gemara, Umiyam Rabbi Yehuda, is it indeed the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the arba minim in, that we could only make the schach out of the arba minim, midach we know nothing else, but Tanya, we learned in a braisa, sicha b'nesorim shel eres yesh ban arba tfachim. If you put, you use for schach on your sukkah beams that are four tfachim wide, divrei hakol psula, everybody agrees that such a sukkah is possible. And as we explained earlier, because we're concerned gzeiros tikra, this is the way a roof was typically built. And since this is the way that a roof is typically built, we have a concern if you use the same type of beam for your sukkah as you use for your roof, you may end up making your schach out of a regular roof as you do in your home, which of course is not acceptable. Ein b'hem arba tfachim, if they're not four tfachim wide. However, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, and they're between three and four tfachim. This is where we have a machlokes. Rameyer says that it's still possible. Rabbi Yehuda Machsher. Rabbi Yehuda says we may use such beams. Umayd Rameyer, and we learned earlier in the Masechta. However, Rameyer agrees. Shem Yesh Bein Neser L'Neser, that if between your beams you have empty space, Kemloi Neser, the width of each beam. Shmeneach Pesel, you put Psoilus Garim V'Yakov, you put Kosher Schach, Beineyem B'Ksherim. And as we learned this earlier in the Masechta, we explained that we're speaking about a sukkah that's exactly eight amos wide, which is 48 tefachim. And then, as we explained when we learned the Gemara in Daf Yud Ches, the way to understand the case here is that we started with a beam on each extreme side of the sukkah, on the right and the left, and then we rotated beam kosher schach. So we end up that we have in the middle of the sukkah 8 tfachim of kosher schach, which is more than the minimum size of the sukkah, because we learned that the minimum size of a sukkah we've always learned is only 7 tfachim, and that's why it's fine, and that's why it's shera. So we see from here that you could use erez to be your schach, even though erez is not one of the dalaminim. So isn't this clearly indication that erez is cedar wood? Isn't this clearly indication that Rabbi Yehuda does not require an erez to be, that Rabbi Yehuda does not require dalaminim only for the schach? Answers the Gemara, my erez, when the braisa used the word erez, it means hadas. There are 10 different varieties of Erez. So since it's considered an Erez, so that's why Rabbi Yehuda says that's what you're using for Yitzchak. And of course, Hadassim are one of the Dalaminim. Remeya says that you could tie together the lulav, the Meshicha, with any material. Tanya, Amar Remeya, Maisav Yikiru Yishalayim. There was an episode with the important people of Yishalayim. Shahoya Egdemes Lulveyim B'Megmoni Yishalzov. They used gold strips to tie together the lulav. Amalai, so we see that any type of material could be used. Amaloi, so the Chum say Misham Raya, you can't bring a Raya from that episode. Below those strips, they had the regular proper use strips of lulav or whatever to tie them together. So of course the Kapas Tamarim asks, what is this Brisa teaching us more than the Mishnah? In the Mishnah we also had this dialogue between the Chachamim and Rameya. What's new here? So the Kapas Tamarim answers that from the Mishnah, it would have seemed that all the people of Yerushalayim had this minig to use gold strips to tie together the Dalminim. Terms that Brisa to teach us that not everybody was willing to spend the extra money and not necessarily should have to spend the extra money for gold strips. It was only the Yekira Yerushalayim, the wealthy people of Yerushalayim, that did that. Another teretz that the Kapas Tamarim answers, that from our Mishnah, they're not saying that we know for sure that below the gold strips there were fine strips. It only could be that that was the case. Here, the Brisa tells us definitively that that was the case, and therefore it's not a raya. Amalu Rava, Lahani Megadli Shana de Beresh Gulusa. He said to those people who were in charge of tying together the Lulavim Hadassim and Aravis in the home of Resh Gulusa. Kigalisa Shana de Beresh Gulusa. When you tie together the Lulav of Resh Gulusa, Shire Be Beis Yad, leave space under the place where you tied it together, that he should be able to actually hold the Dalaminim, the three minim. We don't want that there should be a chetzitza. And the way Rashi explains that even though we're learning that we should use one of the Dalaminim, we should use a strip of the lulav to tie it together, still, Rabbi's opinion was that min b'minai chaitzitz, that if it's the same min, it's still considered a chatzitza. And therefore, since it was the same type of material, that's why you have to be careful to put it under. But then I saw that other Rishonim say that if they had indeed used the type of, to tie together one of the minim of the Dalaminim, there would not be a concern of chatzitza. They did not use it. So even though they presumably passed like the Chachamim, that there's no obligation to tie it together, and since there's no obligation to tie it together, it's not considered about Taisif, but it still would be a problem of Chatzitza. And the way to avoid the problem of Chatzitza is by putting your hand below and you're touching the actual three minim. Rav Amar, and the Nafka Minim would be, for us, that we tie the Dalam Minim together with a min lulav, is there still a point to hold the three minim in your hand with nothing between your hand and three minim? Or since we're using a min lulav, we don't have this, the halacha that Rabbi just said is not applicable to us. Rav Amar, and now Rav says even more so. Kol ha'nosei, anything that's done for beautification purposes, ain't a chaitzitz. He says that he argues fundamentally on Rabbah. And Rabbah says that this would be considered chatzitza. Comes Rava to say that since it's there for the purpose of beautifying the mitzvah, it's considered chatzitza. It's not considered chatzitza. So the question here is that the Gemara just taught us that anything there for beautification purposes is not considered a chatzitza. So there was a dialogue between the Chalkas Yoiv and his Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer, about this Gemara. The Gemara just taught us that kol noisa ein chaitzitz. Yet the halacha is that a shofar, that the piv, where you put it by your mouth, is gold, is covered with gold, is a chatzitza. And the Chalkas Yoiv asked his Rebbe, why is it a chatzitza? The gold plating over there is for the purpose of a chatzitza, is for the purpose of a noisai, to beautify it. And since it's there to beautify it, why would it be considered a chatzitza? So, Avnei Nezer answered that when and what is a noi considered a noi? When it's visible. So when you see it, you're seeing that I'm trying to beautify the mitzvah. But if I put gold plating around the mouth of the shofar, which when I blow the shofar, I put that part in my mouth, so nobody's going to see that gold plating around the shofar. Since nobody's going to see that gold plating around the shofar, the halacha is, that's not considered noi. But then, the Chalkas Yoiv asked his Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer, if you're saying now that if something, the only time something can be considered a noi is if it's visible that we're doing it. So let's talk about our Gemara. Our Gemara said that according to Rava, you're allowed to have the string around the lulav, and it's not considered chatzitza because it's kol na'osai, but because it's there to beautify the lulav. But ask the Chalkas Yoiv, you put your hands around it. If you put a hand around it, it's not visible. And Avnei Nezer just taught us that if it's not visible, it's not considered a noi. So Avnei Nezer responded that there are two types of hidden mitzvah. Sometimes you have a mitzvah that you want to fulfill the mitzvah in the nicest way. And sometimes the noi is in the mitzvah. So he says, when the noi is to beautify the mitzvah, to have a gold case, to have gold around your shofar, so you're only externally beautifying the mitzvah. So if you're externally beautifying the mitzvah, says the Avnei Nezer, it's only a noi if everybody could see what you're doing. But if it's not visible to what you're doing, so you've defeated the purpose of the noi, and it's not considered a noi mitzvah. However, says the Avnei Nezer, there's another type of noi mitzvah. The other type of noi mitzvah is when you want to do the mitzvah in a better manner. It's to increase the quality of the way you're doing the mitzvah. So explain to Avnei Nezer, when you're tying the three minim together, it's not just because you're tying them together that it looks nice. It's nicer when they're all connected versus when they're separate. That's not a noi, and that's not an external beauty, where an external noi is only considered a noi when everybody could see it. It's a noi because the mitzvah is being performed in a better manner that way. And since it's a noi that mitzvah is being performed in a better manner that way, even though it's not visible, it's still considered a noi. Says the Gemara further, V'amar Rabba, Lailanka Anish Hashanah Basudra. A person shouldn't pick up the lulav when he wants to do the mitzvah of lulav through holding it with a piece of material, putting something around your hand and holding the lulav. The Bina Lekichatama, the Torah tells us when it speaks about the mitzvah lulav of the requirement of Lekichatama, and if you're holding it with something else, Veleka. So as the Ritva explains, this is not connected to the halacha that we learned before. This is not a halacha of halacha of chatzisa. This is a halacha of lekicha tama. Ravama lekicha idei dava acher. Even if you hold something, if you hold the lulav through something else, that isn't considered disqualification because lekicha idei dava acher is considered still a valid lekicha. In other words, what the Gemara is teaching us is that there are two separate halachas. There's a halacha of lekicha tama and there's a halacha of chatzisa. I'm a Rav Mina Amin Allah. How, from where do I indeed learn the lekicha al yedei dover acher? If I didn't directly hold it, but but I held it through something else, Shma Lekicha, it's still considered a valid act of Lekicha, the Tanan. The Mishnah speaks about, the Mishnah Masechet Poro, Perek Yud Beis, Mishnah Aleph, teaches us regarding the halacha that when we do the procedure of sprinkling the Parah Aduma on somebody who is Tamei, the halacha is we're supposed to take a bundle of grass, stick it into the Mechatis, the combination of the ash, the Parah Aduma, and the water, and spritz it on whatever got Tamei. Says the Mishnah, Eiz of Kotzer, if you have a piece of grass that's too short, and you can't reach the bottom of the pail where you have that water that you need to dip it into, misapkoi. So we want to lengthen this bundle of grass. How do we do so? Bekut or bekush. We tie to it a piece of string or a piece of wood, the toivel, and then we stick it in, or mala, and you pick it up from this barrel, v'oiches be'ezev, and then you hold on to the grass, umazev. And like that, you spritz on the person who's tamei. Points out Rava, v'amai. Why is this acceptable? Doesn't the Torah say, v'lokach ezov, v'tovah b'mayim, amrachmona? So you have to put the ezov directly into the water. Here, I'm not holding the ezov when I'm dipping it in. Elalav. From here we have a raya, the Shema Mino, Lekicha Yidei Dover Acher, even though I didn't directly put the Ezev into the water, it's still considered a valid act of Lekicha. Says the Gemara, Memai, that raya is not a good raya, because Dil Mashani Hasam, as we just described, the Kivin, the Chabre, since you attached this extension to the Ezev itself, that's why Kigufei Domei, it's considered like part of the Ezev. But in our case, with the handkerchief the piece of material is not being put directly connected to the lulav, it's on your hand. Maybe that's why it would not be considered a valid act of lekicha. Says the Gemara, Ella, so Rava brings a different raya, the lekicha al yidei dover acher, shmo lekicha, mehocha. He brings a raya from the halacha that how we put the parah aduma ash into the water. The Mishnah, another Mishnah, in Masech Depara, Perek Vav, Mishnah Aleph teaches us, Nafal Mishaferis Leshekechs. As we've discussed previously in our Masech Depara, everything that they did in the preparation of the Parah Aduma, they tried to use vessels that are not Mekabel Tuma. And therefore, they used to use a stone cup to accept the Mayim Chaim. And the Pasuk says, you have to put Mayim Chaim El Keli. The first you have to put the water, the Mayim Chaim, into this Keli, and then you put the Efer. And then the Torah says that you put the ash and you mix them together. So says the Mishnah over there, Nafal Mishifaris L'Shekes, that if it didn't fall in, it just fell in, it has to be its apostle. The only time it's acceptable is if you put the ash in with kavana that it should be mekadosh. Hoi pilu. But if the person was holding the cup and it just fell in, if the person was holding the cup and put the ash in, kosher. Amai. But why is that the case? V'lokach v'nosen. Doesn't the Torah say that we have to actually put the ash in? Here I'm holding the cup and the ash falls in. Why is that acceptable? Answers the Gemara, Elav Shema Mino, that as long as I was the one that caused the ash to fall in, even though I didn't actually put it in, it's still considered as if I put it in, because Lekicha Yidei Dover Acher, if it was done through some other means, it's still considered Lekicha. V'Amar Rabba, Lailodetz Inish Lulav Hashana. A person has to be very careful not to squeeze the lulav into the bundle, because we need to be concerned that maybe when you push that lulav in, Dilma Nasri Tarfi, some of the leaves of the Shana, of the Hadassim and the Aravis will fall off. And once they're disconnected, they're not part of the Hadassim, they're not part of the Aravis, and they're going to be there, and they're going to be a Chatzitza. And since they're going to be a Chatzitza, that's why we shouldn't have it there. So the Rishonim have two ways of understanding this Gemara. One way of understanding the Gemara is that your hands, when you put it around the lulav now, you're not going to be touching the dalminim. You're going to be touching a detached leaf, which will be separating between your hand and the hadassim and aravis. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that by having these detached leaves in that bundle, so you have extraneous matter there. And because you have extraneous matter there, that's why it's considered a chatzitza between those three minim. Rava disagrees. He says, since they're all the type of chadasim, so this is a situation of min b'mino en chaitzitz. And the way I saw that the Rishonim explained this Gemara, if the halacha, as we learned early in the shir, is that we could use this material to tie the lulav and hadassim and aravis together, so if it's in between the lulav and hadassim and aravis, it would not be considered a chatzitza. Ve'amarava, lo'ilegas inish lulava, a person should not cut the lulav b'shana while it's ready in the bundle. The mystery chutzah, the same concern, because this piece of lulav that you now cut off is going to be there, but since it's no longer part of the lulav, it's a chatzitza. Rav Amar, and again, Rav says, min b'minoy, since it's all a lulav type, it's not considered chatzitza. Ve'amar Rabba, hadasha mitzvah, the hadasim that we use for the dal minim, also la'rich bar, we shouldn't use them for smelling, because it was huksel in the mitzvasai, and since it's huksel in the mitzvasai, the halacha is that it's osa bahana, and we can't use it to smell the fragrant smell. However, esrik shel mitzvah, you could take the esrik of mitzvah and mutar la'arich by. Even though it was huksel in the mitzvasai, you could use it for smelling. Ask the Gemara the obvious question, my tama, what's the difference between the hadassim and the esrik? Answers the Gemara. Hadas l'rechakoi. Normally, what is done with hadassim? Hadassim are there for smelling. Ki atzei, so now when I separated it, I was maksit l'shem muksa with l'shem mitzvah. What I meant to say is that I'm going to use it for the mitzvah, and I don't want to use it for smelling purposes. However, esrig, what an esrig is normally used for, l'chilakoi. It's not separated out for smelling, it's separated for eating. It's a fruit. So therefore, when I turned it into a mitzvah object, I meant to turn it to use for achila, that I should use it for mitzvah not to eat. But smelling, which it's not typically used for, will not be considered that's what I was maxed from. The machloikus rishonim, we know, we've discussed many times when we learned Hilchas Muksa, that if you make a Tanai, will it work? That I'm not being Maksadas. And here too, the Rishonim debate, that if I have my Adasim and I have my Esrig, and I make a Tanai, then some Rishonim say that Tanai will be effective. But the question is, how could you make a Tanai that I should be allowed to eat my Esrig? I need the Esrig for the next day of Yontif, to be Mekayim, the mitzvah's Esrig. So Rishonim explained, the only time that the Tanai, even according to the Rishonim, that a Tanai would be effective, it would only be effective if I have more Esrogim, with which I could fulfill the mitzvah on the other days of Yontif. V'amar Rabba, Hadas b'mechubur, if you have a das that's still attached to the tree, Mutar l'arich bay, one may smell from it on Shabbos. Esrig b'mechubah, but an esrig that's attached also l'arich bay. Ask the Gemara, my tama, why do we have this difference? Answers the Gemara, hadas the l'arich koi. The only thing that they did with hadasim is they used it for smelling purposes. So therefore, isharus lay, even the halacha will allow us to smell from those hadasim on Shabbos, there's no concern that he's going to tear it off, because all he needs it for is for smelling, and you could easily smell it while it's still attached to the tree. However, esrig is primarily used, as we just said, the lechilakai. Esrig was used for eating purposes. Isharislei, so if we're going to allow you to approach the esrig, and even though you're approaching it just for smelling, but since it's typically used for eating, we need to be concerned that os lemigzi, you're going to cut it off, forgetting that it's Shabbos, and eat it, and cut it off, where of course you're not allowed to take something off a tree on Shabbos. The Amar Rabba, lulav b'yamin, the lulav should be held in the right hand, and esrog b'smoil, and the esrog should be held in the left hand. My tama, why is the lulav in the right hand? It says the Gemara, hani t'losa mitzvah, the lulav has three mitzvahs attached to it, the lulav hadasim v'aravis, and v'chai, and this one has only one mitzvah. And therefore, you have to do it that way. And the Meiri quotes that if somebody reversed and put the lulav in his left hand and the esrog in his right hand, he's not yoitza his mitzvah. And therefore, the halacha is, you have to do it all over again. Then there's another machlokes rishayim. What's going to be the halacha if somebody is a lefty? So does he put the lulav in his left hand and the esrog in his right hand? Or does he do like everyone else? The Rosh says that a lefty should put the lulav in his left hand. A left-handed individual should put the lulav in his left hand and the esrog in his right hand. The Bala Itta disagrees. And he says that the Gemara says here that this is the halacha. Lulav in the right hand and esrog in the left hand. And therefore, that should be done under all circumstances. Keep it that way. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Bala Itta that he, when it comes to the Dalaminim, even a left-handed individual should put the esrog in his left hand and the lulav in his right hand. So the Gemara explained that the lulav has in it three mitzvahs, and the esrog has one mitzvah. And the question is, isn't this obvious? So why does the Gemara have to say it? So the Maggid Avraham comes to teach us that maybe because the esrog is mentioned first, we should consider the esrog more significant. Or maybe the Gemara is coming to teach us, as we just spoke a moment ago, that if you did it in the wrong order, the halacha is you have to do the mitzvah again. So now the Gemara asks another question. When we make the bracha, why do we make the bracha on the lulav, not on the esrog? Answers the Gemara, Hoyel the Gevay Mekulon. Since the lulav is taller, that's why it's appropriate to make the bracha on the lulav. So ask the Gemara if that's the reason. So let's raise up the esrog, and now it will be taller, and we'll make a bracha on the esrog. Amalei, says the Gemara, what I meant to say was, Hoyel ubeminoi gevay mekulam. The lulav is the tallest of the dalaminim. So the Mefarshim, the Maram, explains the Gemara this way. That what was the Gemara's question? That I'll pick up the esrog, and then maybe I'll make the bracha on the esrog. What does the Gemara mean with this back and forth? So the Maram says what the Gemara meant to ask was that, as we mentioned a moment ago, the Torah mentions the esrog first of all the minim. The Torah mentions pre-Eitz Hadar first. And therefore, we have here now a dilemma. On one hand, we should make the bracha on the esrog first, because it's mentioned first. On the other hand, we should make the bracha on the lulav, because it's taller. So ask the Gemara, what we should do is that we'll pick up the esrog, and therefore if we'll pick up the esrog will have two preferences. Number one, that it's mentioned first in the pasuk, and number two, that it's being held taller. To which the Gemara answers, it doesn't depend on what I'm picking up. It grows the tallest, and since it's the grows the tallest, that's what makes it the most noticeable. And therefore, since it makes it the most noticeable, that's why we make the bracha on the lulav al-natilas lulav under all circumstances. So again, here we learned that the halacha is that you put the lulav in your right hand and the esrog on your left hand. So the Magen Avraham asks a question, why does our Gemara have to teach us this halacha? Isn't there a halacha that anything that we make a bracha on, we have to hold in our right hand? And if the Gemara just taught us that the bracha that we recite when we take the Dalaminim is al-natilas lulav, so of course, if we're going to make a bracha on al-natilas lulav, the lulav should be in our right hand. So the Magen Avraham answers that, of course, when we take the dalaminim to make the bracha, al natilas lulav, the lulav should be in our right hand. But as we're going to learn in our coming shir, that the halacha is that the lulav we don't only take when we make the bracha, we take the lulav for the nanuim. And the Gemara is coming to teach us that even when we do the nanuim, when we're not making the bracha of al natilas lulav, we should still keep the lulav in the right hand and the esrog in the left hand. But then, there's another very important teretz given. And that is that the Gemara is coming to teach us that not, of course, the lulav should be in the right hand. We're making the bracha al natilas lulav. If we're making the bracha al natilas lulav, the lulav should be in the right hand. What we're learning from here is that the lulav and esrog have to be in two separate hands. The lulav has to be specifically in the right hand, and the esrog has to be in the left hand. And there are many gedolei Yisrael. I saw that the Brisk Rav, when he used to say Hoshanis, and we go around holding the esrog and the lulav, he was very careful that not to hold the siddur, because he needs the lulav in his right hand, he needs the esrog in his left hand, he doesn't have a way to hold the siddur. And somebody would walk in front of him holding the siddur, that he should be able to read the Hoshanas from the siddur and keep the esrog and the lulav in two separate hands. And therefore the Paiskim say, not everybody of course could do that, that they could have the lulav and the esrog and have somebody walk in front of them with the siddur, but they should try to work it out in a way that the lulav and esrog, not only should the lulav be in the right hand and the esrog in the left hand, but they should be in two separate hands.